Are you ready for word tonight?
Yes, amen.
Amplitude, we praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. I had a message I picked up for tonight, and during praise and worship, it just wasn't sitting right with me. And I wanted to minister something different, and I didn't know what. So I thought, I'm going to look under my notes for a hint. Maybe I'll find something that just clicks with me. I started scrolling. I thought, I'm going to get ways down. Scroll to the bottom of my notes. Just go back probably 15 years or so or more. I don't know how long. And I hit stop. And I saw, nope, that's interesting. So I clicked on it. And I saw the first verse and that was God. That was it. Terry, tell them what the first verse listed in it. It's the only one I went to. From 2013, the first verse in that is what? Near the top.
Where?
You're going to look at this first. Is it too small for you?
No, I'm just trying to. There's all kinds of. The very first one is 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Chronicles.
That's President Trump. That's Trump's heresy
right there. I see. The message just that. Read that on TV.
That's what I'm saying. I thought that's got to be the right one.
Yes.
And so we just had our message changed.
Yes.
Amen. I read the notes on it. I like that. That's a good one. Amen. Of course, God's going to take over on it anyway. So turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's right after 1 Chronicles. Like to be a blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. Open it up to us tonight and speak to us through it. Thank you in Jesus' name. You direct and guide everything we say and do in here. In 1987, Apostle Callahan came to Lexington and he had a vision for Kentucky of God raising up a harvest revival center in Kentucky. We had visions of it, words on it. And God showed him Lexington, Kentucky being a hub that revival would stretch out of. I mean, not just in Kentucky, but all around. And now we have, I don't know how many churches around the world we've got established. And quite a few in the United States. And but the verse he had was this verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That was the verse God gave him about revival coming to America. And it says, of course, you can probably quote it, if my people, which are called by my name, that would be Christian, right? Amen. Shall humble themselves, in other words, be teachable, and pray, and seek my face. Say, seek my face.
Seek my face.
That's where we're going tonight. And turn from their wicked ways. In other words, have a heart of repentance. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And God gave him that verse to pray over this ministry at the very before. We didn't become a ministry for another 5 years. And so we were in denominationalism then. And that was the verse that really this ministry was birthed out of. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And a key phrase I want to get to is seek my face. I'm going to turn this up just a hair. Praise you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Can you hear me? Praise the Lord. Any louder?
Yeah, louder.
Praise the Lord. Let me try moving this again. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And so seek my face. And the title of this message is Seeking God's Face versus Seeking Comfort Zones. Because sometimes they run opposite directions. Amen? And so go ahead and turn with me to Psalm 24.
There you go.
I
found that one.
I took on because I have her Bible.
Yeah, I was trying to find it, but we're moving on.
Psalm 24. Okay. And again, this is a passage that we've taught in here many, many times. Powerful prophetic passage. And let's start reading in verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? How many want to stand before God?
Yes.
I want to stand in his presence all the time. He that has clean hands, there's your holiness. And a pure heart, Oh, that's being born again and having right motives. Who has not lifted up his soul into vanity. Remember we talked about the glory? That those that carry the glory can't be those that lift their soul. Right? They elevate their soul. And to lift up your soul into vanity means to think you think you're God yourself. You can do it yourself. And so he says, those that stand before God will have to have a humble heart. Same thing we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. I want the blessing. How about you?
Yes. Amen.
And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This was written before we could really, before man could even be righteous. He could be attributed righteousness, but he couldn't be made righteous. Did you guys follow that?
Yeah.
This is pre-cross. We've been able to be born again to be made righteous. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. Look at verse 6. This is the generation. Say generation.
Generation.
Of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Generation represents more than one person. In fact, it represents more than a group of people. It represents the people of an age. A people of a segment of time. A people that are closely together in time. That are living at the same time. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it says, there's a generation God's going to bless who will be identified by seeking God's face. And God's going to bring his glory upon that people, He's going to finish the work through that generation, through that people. And I believe we are part of that remnant. We read about the remnant in Isaiah chapter 1 before, you know, at the beginning of service. God's raising up a remnant of his people who are all in, who will seek his face. He's going to bring the glory upon them, and through that people he will heal the nation. We just summed all that up just in a few lines, didn't we? Does anybody believe this beside me? I'm sold out to this. I believe it. And I believe it's the love of God that's going to make it possible.
Amen.
And so God's looking for a people that will seek his face. They're all in with it.
Yes.
First, just go to church when it's comfortable. First, just read maybe a devotional twice a week, praying before their meal. They're really wanting to know God. Ooh. What is the number one way we know God? Any guesses? What's that?
Say that again.
What's the number one way we can know God?
The word.
To seek God's face means you seeking out of this word.
Yes.
You're humble enough to not think you know it all. You're open for the Spirit of God to show you truths out of the word. And if you believe something before but it's counter to the word, you exchange new revelation for the old mentality. Amen. That's what Paul did. Paul had been raised in the law, thinking you work for your righteousness. You work to appease God. But once he was saved, by divine encounter, God gave him the revelation you're saved by faith in what God has done versus what you're doing yourself. And he received the revelation of righteousness. He had to replace what he thought he knew with what God showed him was truth. Out of the Word. And that's what we have to do to pursue God's face. You've got to spend time exposing yourself to spiritual truth. We're going to read about it before we're done, or at least discuss it. Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai with the law, shined with the glory of God. Does anybody remember this?
Yes.
He put a veil on his face so people couldn't say it was disappearing. They were afraid of him because of the glory on him.
Yes.
Amen. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights before God, before his face. 40 days and 40 nights in his concentrated presence. And when he came down, the glory of God had been, how can I say, smeared upon him, rubbed off on him, transferred to him, absorbed by him. I'm trying to think of the right word. Infused. He was carrying the glory of God. But because he was not righteous, He was not born again. He could only stay for a period of time, and it dissipated. But by spending time in God's presence, concentrated presence, he carried the glory of God. If you want to seek God's face to receive the blessing, for God to heal the nation, means you make an effort not just to be in the Word, but also be in His presence at the same time. Amen. This is kind of strange tangent, but Barry had the fall yesterday. I'm at the hospital speaking to one of the nurses, and I'd already gone through with the EMTs everything that had happened, what had happened. And they said he had a sink episode. Sink was the word, I think it was episode. A sink event. We don't know if he passed out and fell, or he fell and hit his head and passed out.
Yeah.
They were synced. And you can't separate their sink, the Word, in God's presence. Because you can spend time with the Word, and if it's not in God's presence, you'll get legalism. You'll come under law. Right? And if you spend time in God's presence without the Word, it'll morph into flakism. You get off track. It requires the two together. And I'm telling you, the title of this again is Seeking God's Face versus Seeking Comfort Areas. If you're going to really seek God's face, it'll mess up your comfort areas. Not that you can't get comfortable to seek His face, but it's going to disrupt your normal routines. Amen? And you'll be reading the Word instead of watching television or doing other things. You'll change your schedules around to pursue Him to be in church. It's going to mess with your priorities. Amen. And you have to battle demons. You have to battle the flesh. So God's going to speak to you. You want to seek my face? Pray in tongues 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes a day? I can't pray in English 5 minutes. That's why God gave us tongues. You can pray all day in tongues if you develop it right. And so you have to fight the flesh. As soon as you start praying, the enemy's going to say in your flesh, you're wasting your time. We're tired of this. This is boring. You haven't heard anything yet. God's not hearing you. I mean, you'll hear every argument against it. But if you're diligent and keep doing it, you'll start hearing. You'll start saying. You'll start revelating out of the Word. So you have to fight the flesh in that. And I don't know about you, I can watch television for hours. Be on the device for hours, and as soon as I open the Bible, I'm sleepy. I find that I'm not sleepy. I used to be sleepy. In Jesus' name. Drowsiness may try to hit you. You have to tell the flesh to shut up. You're going to get some time in the Word. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Again, we shared it many times. When Jerry Savelle was first saved, he would try to read the Bible and he'd fall asleep every time. So finally he said, I've had enough of this. He went and got his Bible and went still on the edge of his bathtub and read the Bible. And he said, devil, flesh, you want to fall asleep now? You hurt yourself. But I'm reading the Word. He would read the Word standing on the edge of his bathtub. What are you doing? You're combating comfort zones to seek God's face. And understand, this life, this walk we're in, is not just about doing some nice spiritual exercises. It's about coming to know the God that saved us. It's about developing a relationship with the Creator of the universe. It's about walking in His perfect will, hand in hand, carrying His power. See, a lot of people seek God because, well, God expects me to do this. So I read a devotional every day, and maybe I read a chapter a day, and you know, I go to church once or twice a week, and they do these things, but they're not in faith for results for it. Get your faith involved in what you're doing.
Yes.
I've been doing this a long time. I opened my Bible today, and when I felt, well, I went to 1 Timothy chapter 6 at first, and opened 1 Timothy chapter 6 in my Bible, I said, God, I received revelation out of this. I receive spiritual fuel out of this. I think there's more than just me reading to do a duty. I'm reading because I want to know you out of this.
Yes.
I spoke those things. And very similar, at least for very similar. And so I read 1 Timothy 6. And I get to I asked God where to go next. He says, go to Isaiah. Well, I felt led to go to Isaiah. Read Isaiah. Just reading chapter 1, I start revelating about God comparing Israel to a diseased and damaged body. Jesus died for that as well. Revelation coming. Now, I've read Isaiah chapter 1, no tell how many times. But now I'm seeing something I've never seen before. What? Seeking. Not just performing. So this is a key aspect of this message. Get your faith involved. I speak over myself all the time. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. That's what Paul wrote. Here's the Paul that had already written some of the New Testament, that already spent time with Jesus personally, a manifestation in the wilderness, that had already met with the disciples. And he's saying, I will come to more visions and revelations. It's never enough. It's like my wife and chocolate. It's never enough. There's more necessary crunch bars to eat, more difficult.
Well, like ice cream. There's never enough ice cream.
Never enough ice cream. In your pursuit of God, keep the mentality, I'm pursuing a relationship with Him, not just trying to please Him. Do spiritual exercises. Amen? This is coming to me right now because I said the word exercises. Some people go to the gym to work out just to feel like they did something. Other people have targets. Do you follow me? Other people say, okay, I'm going to lift this much weight and more next week and more next week. They have goals. They have body weight and BMI, you know, focal points they want to pursue. And they're doing it with a target in mind. Others are just going to go to the gym. We can't be like that with spiritual stuff. I'm just going to church because it's time to go to church. I'm doing my duty. Are you seeing the comparison? I'm getting the Word because, you know, I'm supposed to be in the Word. Be in the Word because you're hungry. In fact, I got a word from Pastor Jim this morning to the pastors, to the ministers. He sent it out to the ministers. I want to read it to you. It's right in line with what we're doing right now. All I got to do is find it. Mm-hmm. Karen, remind me, I got something to show you after service as well.
Okay.
Where's that? Why am I not seeing it? Maybe it was an email. I don't remember. It could be an email. Let me look real quick. Of course, I've signed the wrong one. Anyway, he got a word this morning from God. Yeah, I'm just putting this together, but God's got us here right now.
Amen.
That we can't let up on our pursuit of God and go into a habit of it.
Yes.
That we have to remain as hungry now as we have ever been and put it in action. That's what we have to do to seek God's face. You've got to be hungry for it. Tell you what, if I'm not around my wife, I'm hungry to see her. I miss her 10 minutes, I'm leaving the house. Well, maybe 15. I want to be with her all the time. And God wants us like that with Him. That if we're not with Him, we miss His presence. Now, the neat thing is, with Patty, I go places she can't go. She got other stuff she got to do. But I will never go to God and say, God, I want to spend time with you. I'm driving down the road. Will you spend time with me? He said, well, I've got other stuff I need to do.
No.
Amen? China's taking up all my attention. He will never say, I don't have time.
No.
Or I can't do it. Or I have other priorities, other things I need to do. So you can be with God no matter what you're doing, where you're going.
Yes.
If you just start seeking His face, hunger for it. Make it a priority, and He will start adding to it. Well, it may not happen immediately at high levels, but But the more you demonstrate hunger and involve yourself in pursuit, the more he will show it.
Yes.
To the place we're walking into so much, the glory comes on us. Now we know about Enoch, right? Right? Seventh from Adam. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him.
Yes.
Enoch was the first man ever raptured. And he was a type of the church being raptured. And the key phrase is, that parallels what he's doing with the churches, is the church is going to walk with God before the rapture. The glory is coming on the people all in and are pursuing him to know him, walk with him, and we're going to share assignments out of relationship. This church will be a church of relationship with God. Amen? I don't know who first wrote the song, but churches have been singing it for years and never seen any of it. For he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, and whether it's ever known. Please forgive me for that. People sang that for years that have never walked with God any level. Now, the people that wrote it probably did, but it became tradition.
Yeah.
People thought because they sang the song or they, you know.
A good example is Amazing Grace. For
what's that?
A good example of a song that everybody sings.
Yeah, Amazing Grace. I have no idea about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to be people to walk with him and talk with him and know he's our own.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, you remember the testimony Jennifer Cooper gave Sunday morning about the cult?
Yes.
That it was based on his last breath?
Uh-huh.
She gave us a short version. I got the longer version.
Yeah.
She breathed into his face.
Yeah.
Said, come alive.
Yeah.
And sent me a picture yesterday of the cult's up and walking around out in the stall.
Amazing.
Cult named it Amazing. That's what reminded me of it. The cult's going to be fine.
Yes.
It went from its last breath to 2 days later, supper running around.
It would have been dead if she hadn't done that.
I believe that.
You know, goodness. Yeah.
So she was elated.
Yeah.
Okay.
God's coming back for a bride that knows him. I've apologized for my wife and the pastor taking so long. But we dated for almost 2 years before we got married. I mean, almost a year and a half before I proposed. And we saw each other every day. We were together all the time. But I took a while to propose because I want to make sure. I want to know this is the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And I was getting to know her. And finally came to the revelation, there's nobody else I'd ever want to be with. And I proposed, and she only regretted it now, but she said yes. And of course, we were married 7 months later, I guess, 6 months later. I took time to know her before we married.
Amen.
Because I'd seen too many of my friends jump into it out of lust and out of, you know, some good times and end up in chaos.
Yeah.
And so I was older when I got married. And of course I was older because I didn't wait for her to get old enough to marry. And there's only 30 years difference between us. Well, not quite that many.
Mine is 20.
And so in the same way, God's developing a relationship with us.
Amen.
Till we know him.
Yes.
He knows us already. But he wants to come into this relationship where we do walk with him and talk with him and we're dependent upon him and we're coming in with every situation in life. In fact, we just stay in connection. And that's going to be his bride. That's when he's going to put the glory on. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Consider the glory God's wedding gown for his bride. And we're going to be adorned in glory, the word says. And it's going to be a people. Not routinely or ritualistic following God or serving God, but doing it out of relationship. Amen. But to move into that relationship, you've got to hunger for it and seek His face. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that, you know, he comes to some stranger and says, "Hey, I think I want to marry you." And it's done, any more than I did. And I hope I'm not sharing too much tonight. The reason I wanted to marry Patty, the number one reason, because I knew she wanted to be with me. I dated other girls. I dated other girls who wanted to get married. But I knew Patty wanted to be with me from the time we met. And it was her desire to be with me to become the number one selling point for me to marry her. She was knocked down gorgeous. You thought, to me at least. Everybody's friend, wonderful personality. Couldn't make decisions very well. But the one thing she knew, she wanted to be with me. And that sold me over the top of her to be with somebody who wanted to be with me. And of course, that I had a Harley and a 280Z and own place and a good job. Probably didn't hurt any. She said she liked my teeth when we met. God's looking for a bride who wants to be with Him. That wants to stay in communication and relationship with Him. That it's not just something they do because they have to. Well, I guess I got to see God because I want to go to heaven. I want to know God whether I went to heaven or not.
Yeah.
Now, hell's not a good alternative, but I mean, if there was no heaven, no hell, I still want to walk with greater. How about you?
Yes.
But praise God, there's other benefits that come with it.
Yes.
And the creator of the universe says, "I made man special. And he can be my best friend." Well, not just my best friend, but my bride. Now, I've got friends in the world. But Patty's my best friend. And will always be my best friend. And God wants His bride to be like that. That we're His best friends. God came to Abraham and asked him a question. What should I do in this case? Abraham would give God input. And God would adjust His direction based on what Abraham requested or even Moses. We have the ability to affect the directions God takes. In fact, I believe our president's life has been saved 3 times now, at least, because people were praying.
Yes.
Requesting God to protect this man.
Yes.
Whether you think he's godly enough or not.
God can.
Yeah.
He's making decisions I agree with.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, if only our representatives would do the same thing. Amen. Pass the Save Act. Let's read verse 6 again. This is the generation of them that seek Him, to seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Think about it. Go over to Psalm 27. Let's go straight to verse 8. When thou saidest, "Seek ye my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Willingness, desire, even hunger to know God. I shared a message here a few weeks back about heaven not being at the outer space, 13.2 or 26.4 billion light years away. That heaven is another dimension that's right here.
Exactly.
Angels step out of one dimension into this one.
Exactly.
It's not out beyond outer space. Because as long as you think He's out beyond outer space, you're going to have a mentality He's way far away. But it says, go to the right verse again. "Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek." You got to believe he's right here.
Yes.
He's close.
Yes.
Because as long as you think he's so far away, mm-hmm. you'll think he's unattainable.
Yes.
Oh God, if my prayers could just stretch 13.2 billion light years away. No, he's right here. Holy Spirit's within us. Hearing everything we said, knowing everything we think, understanding every hardship we go through, God's right here. He's saying, move over to the realm of just pursuing, knowing me. That's what seeking that face means. See, the Bible talks about seeking his hand and seeking his face. Seeking his hand means you need God to do something for you, or you desire him to. You want some blessing in your life. But seeking his face is, I want to know you. If I want to know Patty, I don't look at her hands. You follow me? I look at her face. I'm looking at her eyes, her reactions, how she's responding to me looking at her face. Whether she think to make there's other motives or whatever, she's rolling her eyes, I don't know what it is. I'm looking her in the face because I want to know her heart to heart. And the word says the eyes are the window of the soul. You can know a person by looking in their eyes. Amen. You can see demons in somebody just looking in their eyes. Or you can see God. And we want to be those that look God, look at God face to face. Exodus chapter 33. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Exodus, China is right after Genesis.
And my pages keep moving here.
This is a section pretty long, but God's giving Moses directions to move ahead, to go forward, to lead Israel further through the wilderness. And verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. So when we're reading about seeking God's face, it's talking about seeking friendship with God. Seeking conversation, communion, interaction with him. Not just obedience. Well, God just wants puppets in heaven obeying. No, he wants friends that trust him to lead them the right direction. You got to come to the place in pursuing God, you believe what he tells you is going to be best for you, even though you don't see it at the time. Amen. It says, and he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now look at this. Joshua stayed at the tabernacle. Who took over for Moses after Moses departed?
Joshua.
Yes.
See, you don't have to be the one in charge. Just pursue God and God will get you to the place you're supposed to be. And God assigned Joshua to take over after Moses was dead. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. In other words, God told Moses, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
You found grace. Moses has heard this.
Yes.
Moses has heard he's got giftings and promises, but he wanted more. He wanted more than just the hand of God. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. What's the way I can know you? We mentioned that at the beginning. We say, seek God's face. How? Now you guys know answers. You've been exposed to this in the past. But if you went to the average Christian or even the average non-Christian and said, you need to seek God's face, they would say, how? That's what Moses is doing. Show me the way to know you. How can I know you more? Because right now we would have a lot of guesses. Do I need to fast 40 days and 40 nights without food or water? You'll be dead. Unless the grace of God hit you at the right level, you follow. You can't go 40 days without water. But Moses did on the mountain. Do I need to give away all my stuff? Just start over. Don't do that unless God tells you to. And you need to know. Otherwise, you'll be upset later. Do I need to go hand out tracts? Do I need to, you know, pray all night? What do I need to do? How? What's the way? For us, the way is to hear the Spirit of God leading us into it. Because He'll tell you, go to church, or pray now, or get in the Word now. Even things in your life you need to change or adjust, repent from. Then I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. I don't consider this church my church. I consider it God's church. He just left me some responsibilities with it. So when y'all do stuff that's kind of silly, I'll say, it's your church, God, your church. Actually, anytime we lose a battle like we just did, it's a victory overall. We always win. I take it personally. I don't like the devil thinking he won one.
No.
Oh, no, against us, he always loses.
Amen.
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 And then God gives him the answer. Now, in the answer, Moses is asking for the way. How can I know you? How can I move deeper into this relationship with you? God gives him the answer in the next verse. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The key to knowing God is tapping into His presence. Now we know He inhabits our praises. We draw near to Him, He draws near to us. So we make efforts, even if we don't see God or feel God. You may move towards Him and God will meet you.
Yeah.
His presence will manifest. And out of that presence is His voice. Maybe soft and sweet down in here. Maybe, you know, you just know things.
Yes.
But you'll hear His voice out of that presence. Out of that presence, this Word will come to life instead of being a book of condemnation. Out of that presence, we come to know Him in relationship. I've heard of people that have developed long-distance relationships. I know it happens a lot, especially now with the internet and everything. People are developing relationships from other countries, other states. Be careful from other countries, even other states. I've got more than one friend's been scammed out of thousands of dollars out of that. But they develop long-distance relationships online or over the phone or whatever. But I think if you really want to know somebody, you need to get in their presence.
Yeah.
You need to sit with them. Hold their hand. Look in their eyes. Burst into a screen. And get to know them through spending time directly with them. And God wants the same. You spend time with me, you'll get to know me. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Spend time with God, you'll come to know Him. If you know Him, you'll want to spend time with Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to spend time with Patty until I met her. Didn't know her. But once I did, she had all my attention. What verse are we on? Oh, verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. That's an amazing statement. Moses said, if you're not going with us, just leave us here.
Yeah.
I would rather be in the wilderness. I'd rather be in a place of lack. I'd rather be in a place of hardship with the presence of God than in great blessing or wealth without it.
Amen. Yes.
Did you follow me? I believe it's what we can read out of this. If God, if you don't go with us, leave us in this place of lack. Eating the same thing every day, manna and quail. If the quail flew in that time. You know, water out of a rock, no Pepsi. I mean, think about it, nothing but water for 40 years. I guess you could dissolve some manna in it and get manna flavored water.
Must be good water.
Amen.
They never knew anything.
So they're on water. Some of us would about pass out if we didn't have a soft drink at least once a week, right? And no ice cream or chocolate. My wife would eat the same thing for two meals in a row, hardly. Three is a no-brainer. No, it's not the same thing. Manna for 40 straight years. Pastor Callan used to name all the ways to make manna.
Yeah.
Fried manna, boiled manna, manna on a stick, manna pot pie, manicotti. Manna manicotti. And Moses said, I'd rather have all of this with your presence than to go into the land of plenty, overflowing with milk and honey. And what do you get when you combine milk and honey?
Money.
Milk plus honey equals money. Just forgive me for that. But it's the land of blessing. Moses said, if you're not going to be up there, we don't want to go. I'm the same way. God, your presence is more valuable and precious to me than anything the world could offer.
Yes, it is.
And you got to get to the place you will not do anything to interfere with that presence in your life. What's the word? Counter it, contradict it, restrain it. You got to want it. Amen. Verse 16. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. How are they going to be separated? How are they going to be identified as different from every other person on earth, every other people? The presence of God on their life. For us, it's going to be the glory of God. It's going to separate us from other churches, other Christians, other segments of Christianity. The presence of God makes the difference. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also, but thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I am known, and I know thee by name. So he said, I'm going to do it. My presence will go with you. You're going to come to know me. And then Moses ups the ante, raises the bet.
Yeah.
All he said up to now is, I just want your presence. I don't know the way to go. How do I get into it? But now he says in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting to the crux, the target, the glory of God. Out of seeking God's face. You want to hear something? I preached this message in 2013. I'm sure it's a series. But I didn't preach it like this. Why? Because 13 years ago, I didn't have the revelation of the glory I have now. God's taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. And a message I preached before, same verses for the most part, has a different life. I can tell you right now, this message I'm preaching right now has more divine impetus and grace behind it than when I did it the first time. And of course, we know the first time was excellent, right?
I must hear it
then
and taste it.
It was good. I figure you still remember this. And he said, I will make, look, Moses has shown me that glory. Verse 19, and God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God said, you want to see my glory? It's revealed in seeing my goodness. You want to carry the glory of God? Get a revelation of his goodness and walk in it. I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. I've met a lot of people, even Christians, with really crummy marriages. That their spouse is from the pit of hell and carried most of the demons from it with them. I've got a friend, his marriage was going through difficulty, so they went to see a therapist, see a counselor. And so they go to talk, and the wife goes to speak first and starts telling a whole set of lies against her husband that were totally fabricated. He abuses me. He beats me. You know, and just a whole list, and he's going, none of this is true. None of this is true. What are you doing? I'm just struggling with these lies. So she's still talking. The therapist gets on the phone. They send the preacher there to put him in handcuffs and lead him away. Totally blindsided by lies of the enemy. That's a spouse out of hell. Do you follow me? And of course, that marriage didn't last once he got out of jail. Of course, the truth became known as well. There's no goodness there. And you don't want to stay married to that.
No.
And once he discovered that, he had no desire to see more, get more counseling, no desire to try to make the marriage work. It was over because there was no goodness to connect to. And God said, if you want to walk in my glory, it's going to come out of my presence. Follow where I'm about to go. It's going to come out of my presence. My presence is going to come out of seeking my face. And when you get a revelation of my goodness, you'll want to seek my face. See, we had revelations for years. The church still does much of it. But God's some angry, wrathful God looking to wipe people out all the time. We were afraid to see God. Many people still are. Or no real desire. Why do I want to know inside, whether they could voice or not, inside there was a mentality, why would I want to seek a God who's angry at me all the time? I'm always letting down. I'm always falling short of the glory. They're walking in a legalistic mindset that God somehow is always disappointed in this man. There's no desire to connect to that. Any more than I don't connect to a wife, a woman that's always disappointed in me. He's always, you know, wanting to correct me and straighten out my mistakes and tell me how I failed. I don't want that. I want a cheerleader spouse. Even when I mess up, I want a cheerleader spouse. And should I ever mess up, I'm sure she would cheerlead. Just kidding. I have one. And God said, if you get a revelation of my goodness, you'll want to walk with me. And when I discovered he made me righteous through the blood of Christ, through the cross, he wanted to be my friend. He had all these promises stored up for me if I would just believe for him. He would make me his favorite. I'd be his best friend. We all could be his best friend. You follow me? There's no levels with God as far as we can all be the best. But it came out of a revelation. He's on my side.
Yes.
He's not looking to beat me up or tear me down or, you know, tell me I failed him. He's looking to build me up, to get me into the fullness of his calling, to anoint me. For blessings to overtake our lives. And if you get this revelation of goodness, you'll pursue his face. If you pursue his face, you'll step into his presence. You step in his presence, it will amplify the amount you want to seek his face. And as it goes from faith to faith and glory to glory, we'll walk in that glory. That's what God's leading Moses into right here. And what happened when he came down from the mount? He was carrying the glory of God. Verse number 20. And God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. No man can see me and live. And God says, you stand in the cleft of the rock, in this place in the rock, and I'm going to pass, cause my backside to pass before you. Now, I've heard many interpretations of what that meant, that God showed him all of history, from Adam all the way up. That was the backside, that it was what he'd done in the past. It could be the backside didn't carry the full glory of his face, I don't know. But God said, no man can see my face and live. I'm going to throw this out here as a possible theory. Moses was unredeemed. He was not made righteous. He was a sinner walking in a relationship with God as a sinner. You follow me under that grace. But God has rebirthed us into his kingdom. You're not made in God's image. You're now as righteous as God. And I believe we have a right to look in God's face more than Moses ever did. You follow me? The new nature qualifies you to look in God's face.
Yeah.
And he said, he prophesied, seek my face. Seek my face.
Amen.
Seek to look into it. Now it could be you'll see enough of God's face, you can't stand anymore. It happened to Isaiah.
Yeah.
Isaiah was seeking God, and God showed up. Caught Isaiah up in a vision. He stood before God. And instead of being, oh, praise you, Jesus, and falling down with his love, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a sinner. I'm filthy rags. I've seen the Lord. You get in the presence of God, it'll show up every flaw in your life. Amen? But if you want God as much as I do, you're looking forward to that so you can fix the flaws and get deeper in his presence. I believe with Jesse the Planus, who's been called up to heaven several times, wrote that if you want to go before the throne of God in heaven, not everybody can go, even in heaven. Made righteous. You still can't go before the throne of God. That to stand the power of God's love, the power of his glory in heaven, there's leaves of a tree you have to eat before you can even think about going before him. So I'm guessing with us in a flesh body on earth, we're not going to see the full glory of the face of God. But if we'll hunger, we can have as much as we can stand. And act on it. And I want to know him above everything else in this world. You follow me? Father, I thank you for this word. You're raising up people that are seeking you, hungering for you. And amplify it. Cause a fire to burn within us that you're all that we want, and everything in the world becomes ashes before you. I declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack. We refuse to walk in extreme grief and sorrow. There's no oppression, and in this church there's no strife. Oh, no judgmentalism, no criticism. We walk in the perfect love of God. And we pursue your presence. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen.
Amen.